The following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gig. It is that time of the week. It is the greatest Tuesday I've had all week, and it is time for the True Wealth Radio Show. I am your host, Dave Little John, and joining me, of course, is
that kid you pulled in off the street, Matt Dixon.
Okay, I like the way he self-identified as a kid.
Yeah,
I'm like, what do I get to call? He's still a kid to me because that's when I met him. He was a kid, and so it's really hard to get past that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
except for the part where he's like a dad and stuff like that. So.
You know, I had this horrifying moment. I was looking in the mirror the other day, and I smiled for some reason, and I'm like, man, you're getting all the wrinkles right here, the little crow's feet or whatever you call them. I'm like, oh yeah.
Just wait till the hair starts to change color. Mm-hmm. Some of it starts not growing back,
that's
and then it grows back in other places. You're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yep.
Nope, all the things. Cowboy wisdom, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to live a happy life, learn to be okay with getting older.
Yeah, just ignore it.
There you go. Well, interesting enough, since life is going to progress either way, today have we got a show for you.
Right.
Right, indeed. So we're talking today about, now, who am I really talking to today? Yes, you that's listening. But when we were thinking about the show, and we're thinking, how can we deliver some value? I asked Matt this question. Matt, what are people, like we have kind of a sweet spot of clientele.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have clients kind of the whole spectrum here.
We really do.
So, you know, we've got folks that are just getting started. And we've got folks that are on the other end of things and they're, you know, just figuring out how they're going to wrap up.
Yep.
But we look at who we deal with a lot. I would say it's probably folks in their late 40s all the way to their early 70s.
That's, I would say, probably more than 60 to 70% of our business. Yeah.
Right? A lot of folks probably in their 50s and 60s that are approaching retirement.
Or they're just kind of starting retirement. Yeah.
Yep. Or it's folks. So our real sweet spot, we get folks that are just about to get into retirement or they're just into retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to figure out how to manage their cash flow and how to transition from the point where they were earning money with their time to now they are working for their paycheck instead of their paycheck.
Ah, yes. That sweet spot, right? You've worked your whole life for this moment. Now what?
But when we talked about it, what did I say? Well, you actually said it. You had this great phraseology for it because I was kind of cranky. I'm finding myself getting into the age bracket of our clientele in here. For a long time, I was the young advisor. That's not the case. I am the oldest advisor in the office right now. And it's, well, what are the things that are, it started with the cranky. Why is everything changing? Why does it feel so flippin' unstable?
Mm-hmm.
And you just summed it up with this simple phrase. Why does it feel so complicated now?
Yes, it does. There's a lot. It feels like there's a lot more moving parts to this thing than there used to be.
It sure seems that way. I don't know if I am speaking for everybody. I'm going to speak for me for a minute.
Okay.
I'm squarely in the Gen X world. And Gen X, in a lot of respects, is, it seems like we're a bit of a cranky generation because the baby boomers ahead of us could rock the vote. The millennials behind us can rock the vote. And we're this voting rounding error. It's a little bit like Douglas County feels every time that Portland votes for something statewide. Right? It doesn't matter what your opinion is.
Do you feel like a minority here?
Because if somebody else doesn't agree, you're getting steamrolled. And I have to admit, as a Gen Xer, I've watched all the technology show up and take over, and I've watched a lot of promises that seemed to be the thing that we were going to build the house on, and they've all been sort of taken away. I've seen tax policy change so many times I can't count it.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen pension plans basically evaporate in the private sector.
Yep, that's a big
They've been materially changed in the public sector.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the gap between the benefits of the public sector and the private sector create a lot of contention in the private sector.
Yeah.
I've seen competition for workers. And now the great disruptor of my career is artificial intelligence, which now seems to be giving the workplace the ability to automate and outsource things that used to be done by people.
Yeah.
And we haven't made robots for everything, but a lot of things. I imagine that, you know, a lot of the steel workers and the auto workers of the Detroit area and surrounding communities of decades ago probably felt like this as robotization changed automation. But today, we're seeing that extend even further. And if you don't believe me, when was the last time that you went to a drive-thru restaurant and it was AI that started taking your order and then a different person took over at some point at the end and you realized, like, I was talking to a computer.
So maybe that's part of it, right? You said, you know, retirement's starting to feel more complicated than it used to. Maybe that's also partly because life has gotten a lot more complex, right? Because as more and more AI comes out and the world shifts to a more tech-focused lens, you'd think that that would make things easier, but you're also having to relearn systems in a whole different way, right? Like, you used to just, like, have a phone number and you'd write a check and pay your bill. And now there's 75 million passwords that you need and things have to be digital and, you know, you got DocuSigns going on instead of just signing something. And if everything's digital and it's kind of floating around out in the space, it's kind of hard to always keep things organized and be on top of things. And I really don't think that like Americans necessarily got worse with their money. I think that the system kind of just got harder.
I think it got more optionality, and we didn't get smarter.
Yeah,
that's a weird way to say that. Now the system got really clever at finding all of this data about you to really hone in on how to market to you.
There's that.
And they have convinced so many people that these wants are needs. They have convinced so many people just follow this trend or that trend. And they're really good at separating people from their money.
That's a big one, right? So marketing's gotten better. I think that also one of the things that I'd like to talk today about is a little bit of this idea that the retirement system has kind of transferred responsibility from the institution to the individual, right? Because if we go back in time, you know,
By the way, I totally take issue with the way you frame that. Even though the net result's the same thing. I don't think the retirement system did it at all. I think that
the system changed.
This was a capitalist response to risk management.
I do agree with that, actually, right? But, like, you just got to look at, like, where was the turning point? Because you mentioned it earlier, like, the employer pension used to be a huge portion of this, right? And then if someone had a good pension and they had Social Security and some supplemental savings, they tended to be pretty much all right. And now, you know, we look at that and it's like, well, the pensions really aren't used nearly as often as they used to be. And so, I mean, I even brought in a stat on that one. So you used to have a 60% participation rate back in the 80s, and it's under 20% today.
You're talking about for
the pension portion. Yeah,
the pension option. Now, what I've noticed is if you have a pension option, people take it.
Oh, yeah.
A lot. But they just aren't given as options very much anymore.
Right. And so, you know, you think back to how it was maybe in the 70s or 80s. People were pensioned up. Money was moving in the system. And real estate, too. Right. Like, real estate proportionally was a lot cheaper then.
I feel like I could do an entire show on why all of this stuff happened.
Right.
The problem is it will leave you feeling like, well, great, now
then what?
Because it's not likely to change.
Right. And I think I'm just trying to make the point that I don't think that people necessarily got worse with their money. I think that the system changed and people didn't adapt really quickly to it.
Okay.
That's the crux of what I'm trying to say.
I'll go with that. I mean, I do think that we have expanded what everybody thinks they need to buy, right? The level of vehicle today, I look at just a base model, anything, is so much more sophisticated than a base model of 20, 30 years ago. And there's just this expectation that everything needs to have screens and technology and gadgetry. And so that everything increases cost. So we just see the rising cost of so many things. But even that, there's a certain part of it can be explained by the layering upon layering upon layering of more regulations and requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And they just add up. You know, the fact that today's vehicles are arguably a lot safer than they were 20, 30 years ago, and they get a lot better fuel economy than 20, 30 years ago, but there's a lot more regulations that have to be complied with. So it's harder for competition to enter the marketplace, and all of the products cost more.
Yeah, especially the real estate. Look at all the red tape behind real estate wasn't there in the 70s.
I just don't know that you can have affordable real estate that complies with all of the codes.
No.
Now, it doesn't mean you can't have real estate that applies to all the codes. It's the affordable part, right? The cost of compliance becomes unaffordable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know that you can build a structure virtually anywhere for under six figures for just the cost of materials and permits and everything.
Yeah.
Period. And so I'm like, well, what part of affordable is, you know, we're putting together, you know, basically a lot of wood and some covering materials and some plumbing and some wires. And we spent $100,000 to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, or more, right? I mean, I bet you the $150,000 is pretty much what you have to spend now.
Yeah. And so when a lot of the spending, you know, or discretionary spending or whatever you want to call it, transfers from, you know, all the different areas of life into a house, and because the house got more expensive, mm-hmm. you know, that really ties up how much you're saving too.
Right. Well, and then let's be real about some other things. And I know we're going to have to grab a break in a sec, but like, let's consider, okay, internet.
Mm-hmm.
We could say, well, you don't have to get the internet, but you kind of do, even though it's discretionary. It's not really discretionary.
Right.
Not having it puts you at such a disadvantage that we literally see government programs where we're giving out smartphones to people so they can have access.
Mm-hmm.
And so you end up paying for internet, and then you end up paying for phones. And it's really interesting because if you can't afford them, it's sort of like attorneys, right? Then one will be provided to you.
Yeah.
It's that important. But at the lower end of the spectrum, income-wise, that takes a big bite.
Yeah. And when things get more expensive, right, your responsibility as a smart saver goes up, and then your margin for error really goes down.
Yeah. Well, that's the issue, is there's so much competing for wallet share right now,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of it is harder to make optional.
Right.
You know, it just is. So life is getting expensive. This whole vibe of it's complicated makes sense to me.
Should we get into like how complicated it really is?
I think we'll talk about how complicated it is. We're going to talk about, can it get less complicated?
How can we bust out the machete and we'll navigate our way through this?
Let's do it. Let's grab a break. We'll come back. And on the flip side of this one, we're going to talk about how the rules have been changing. And then we're going to talk about maybe how we can make some of our own rules to counter the rules that are changing.
All right, let's
stick around. All right, I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
You got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hey, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio with
Matt Dixon.
All right, remember, you can get caught up, grab the podcast. It is on our website. We are going to be sending you to the website if possible today, by the way. I'm just going to sort of set you up for this one. The web address is littlejohnfs.com. We've been over this before. Little John was taken, and I couldn't extort the guy into giving me
that
domain.
So for the person that's driving, they should immediately pull over to the next safest location, pull out their phone, and go to where?
littlejohnfs.com.
Wow.
Financial services,
right?
There it is. So, and I want you to, you don't have to even do anything on the page. We're going to talk about, later this is going to come up, just remember that benchmark this little term, or like bookmark this term in your mind, asset map. Okay. We're going to come back to that. I'm just going to set a little pin there, and we're going to come back to it later in the conversation. But Matt, I want to talk before we get there about the concept of how things are getting more complicated these days.
Yep.
A lot of it really is this complexity has led to expense. I do believe that for younger folks entering the marketplace today, the cost of things is legitimately higher relative to previous generations. Education costs more as a portion of your income. Housing is more as a portion of income. So you're seeing these historical ratios where, you know, saying, well, spend 30% of your income or less on housing. And then you look at somebody's income and you look at what that would buy, and it's like, it doesn't align well. And so folks are having to find different ways early on to access housing and be clever about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
And the government's tried to address this, but they've tried to address it in ways that I don't think address the cost of housing. What they do is they address the cost of financing. It's like, we'll give you zero money down programs where you can finance more.
Right.
Right. We'll try to do 40-year mortgages where we can spread the payments out over longer periods of time instead of 30 years. So there are these other tools of manipulation that are trying to be presented to the masses. What I'm going to tell you is there's more tools than that, but it really does require that you have to get sort of clever about how you leverage finances. What I see most commonly when folks are really young is that because of a lack of more understanding about the value of their money over time, they will front load more expenses than assets. And then later on, they'll end up trying to catch up and fix that error. And the folks that get out of the gate strong do a better job of avoiding liabilities and stacking more assets.
Yeah.
So with all of this change, how do we adapt to these crazy rules? Like what do we talk about? How do we help people navigate this?
Well, I think one of the first pieces before you even get into that is just understanding like the shift, right? Statistics are showing that now most Americans, where is their wealth? It's actually inside of their 401k or their IRA. And that's over like 70% of the country. Like if you look at like where their wealth is.
You're talking about 70% of people that accumulate anything, the majority of their wealth is in their retirement plans.
Yeah.
Am I correct. Understanding
you? In an IRA or a 401k. And so now, you know, the individual is more responsible for stuff in the future in regards to like taxes, right? Because like for most people, they put their money in like just a regular workplace 401k. And then they go to pull that money out in the future. They've rolled it into an IRA, and they're going to pay income taxes on that, right? And even for the person who did really well and put $1 million into that IRA, you now have potentially some timing issues, some tax issues, some RMD issues where, you know, you're required to start taking that money out proportionally more and more each year. And so you can run into issues in the future. So I think part of it is just understanding that so that you can do exactly what you just said earlier on in the show, which is you need to own assets and assets across different classes, right? Like not just in a retirement account. You need assets that are liquid enough to where you can, you know, use big chunks of money if you need to, and it doesn't blow your taxes up, for example. And so spreading your assets out over different kind of buckets of money is not a crazy thing to do.
Yeah. By the way, when Matt says buckets of money, different tax treatments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The challenge here, and when we say it's getting more complicated, I think it really is. It's more complicated because taxes are progressive,
yep,
and because taxes change. Expect over your lifespan that the tax code will change numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's a political hot potato. It's going to, and so those rules are going to change, and the government is going to incentivize things sometimes and disincentivize things other times. So being adaptable means also the problem is, imagine this. Hey, I've put 70% of people out there have put the majority of their wealth in a retirement asset that has a tax treatment, which means you have that strategy to manage your taxes with.
Mm-hmm.
There are no other arrows in your quiver if
right.
you put everything in one strategy.
Right.
And so if you're wondering, well, what are they talking about? Even if we were to tell you, well, what if you had Roth IRAs in addition to traditional IRAs or 401ks?
Yep.
That's another type of tax strategy.
Or you have a rental house that's paid off in your retirement years, and
right.
now you're getting
which has a passive income yeah. strategy, different tax treatment.
Yep.
Yes. The problem is that in order to successfully navigate today, you need to become more aware of how taxes are going to impact your dollars. Because if you give more dollars to the government, that's fewer dollars for you to spend.
Yeah, that's a big piece.
And the challenge with that is that the government says some behaviors we prefer over others. But imagine this, 70% of accumulators have the majority of their wealth in retirement plans.
You know where that can really bite people potentially in the future?
Well, I'm thinking about required distributions is probably, but where?
I mean, healthcare costs, right? This is one that a lot of people don't think about, but, you know, Medicare, there's costs associated with that. And premiums increase based on your income. And so that loops into what you were just talking about, which is the RMDs. So if you are required to take money out of that IRA and it drives you into a higher tax bracket, you could now also be paying more for your Medicare.
Yeah. The issue is, I think folks miss the strategic moves.
Correct.
Moving money around within your tax bracket, if you're able to do that, and you can by determining things like what, when, and where
mm-hmm.
you put investments.
Right. And it can be very simple moves, right? Like you said earlier, oh, I'm going to stop contributing to this traditional 401k that I already have $1 million in. And for the next 10 years, I'm going to contribute to my Roth 401k sleeve and then break up some of the taxes.
Yeah.
Or simple things.
Thinking about, well, depending on where you're at in the journey, this is the case for, if you don't understand this stuff, this is the case for why you would still consider working with a pro.
Mm-hmm.
Is that when you are younger, you may be better off in, so you may, I'm not giving you advice right now, but you may be better off starting in a Roth IRA, in a lower tax bracket.
Right.
As your earnings go up, it turns out you get phased out of eligibility for a Roth anyway. If you don't know what phased out means, there's another reason you might want to talk to a pro.
Yeah.
Right. And listen to the show again and then go hit up ChatGPT and ask about what phase outs are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you earn too much money, you're not eligible for certain things.
Correct.
So, and the weird part is, gosh, I saw this today, in fact, with the One Big Beautiful Bill Act that just came out, all these different tax things that have changed. And there's a chart that showed a stack of different deductions that are available and the phase outs at the different things on the tax code. And here's the trick now. They're trade-offs. I can get phased out of something over here, but it will create something over there.
So the
opportunities
are way
different. But if I choose over there, if I choose to take this one over there, I lose a different thing over here. And so, yeah, it what you select, you're going to get something and you're going to give something else up. So you don't get both anymore. It's like you have to optimize for whichever is best for your circumstance. By the way, that sounds to me like more complicated.
Yes. Yep.
It just got more complicated.
Right.
And so I think you're going to have to become better at understanding tax code to optimize here. I mean, mm-hmm. I have good news. If you're not at a point where you're earning enough that, you know, if you're just taking standard deductions and it's pretty simple, the IRS has largely said, for you, we are going to keep this pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
But if your goal, like most everybody I know, is to earn enough that you get outside of that IRS safe zone, that's when it's going to get more complicated.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of things here. this is why this concept of the asset map that I was talking about is super relevant to people.
Do you want to talk about kind of what asset map does just a little bit so people know kind of the framework of what it is and how
I'm
going
to tell you one of two things. If you can't wait until after this break, go to our website and you can click it and figure it out. Otherwise, I want you to stick around. We're going to come back and I'm going to actually explain to everybody, what is an asset map? Why does it matter to you? And why would these guys on the radio say you can get this for free? But we got to take a break first. Stick around. I am Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240. Thank you.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
No, don't say it that way. Welcome back to the True Wealth Show, everybody. Dave Littlejohn in studio with
Matt Dixon.
I just learned that in our live stream shots, there was a contraband in studio that shows up on video. And so it's like, oh, brilliant. Glad we learned about that. So not illegal contraband, just stuff that we would not have chosen to have in frame. And so
this is going downhill quickly.
There you go. There you go. Now everybody will have a reason to go check the historical archives and see if they can figure out what we're talking about. Meanwhile, yeah, it's like, you know,
page three,
Mr. Beast did that YouTube or the commercial on the Super Bowl, right? So everybody's now scanning that thing a million times trying to figure out the clues.
Yeah. Ingenious marketing on his end, honestly. Yeah. Like, that guy has just taken the world by storm.
It's true. I'm not even going to try to unpack that. He is more clever and brilliant than I am. So I'll just go, all right, you figured out the YouTube algo. You probably are the YouTube algo at this point, so... Google calls him. Hey, we're thinking about making some changes. What should we do? And he's like, I would try it this way. And they're like, okay. The Chuck Norris of YouTube. Oh, that's serious.
Heavy. Yeah, that's heavy.
Serious. All right.
You were going to tell us what asset map is, remember?
I am.
There you go.
Okay. This is a starting point. So a bunch of you guys out there listening are probably thinking to yourself, great. Now you've terrified me with the fact that taxes are more complicated and you've given me no tools or resources whatsoever other than fear. Thank you for selling this to me. To which I say, hold on. I'm not here to ruin your life. We're actually here to attempt to improve it. And let me do something refreshingly honest. Okay. I'm going to give something away. And you're thinking to yourself, nobody gives something. Well, that's true. Some of you are going to get this and you're going to say, you know what? This is useful enough that we're going to reach out to you guys and we'll go, hey, then maybe you can end up getting personalized financial advice from us instead of just listening to the radio. But for a bunch of you, you may just want to try these tools out for yourself and you're not interested in hiring anybody or, you know, that's fine. We're still going to give it away. We pay for it. This is not a free tool. Like this is something that we use as a professional financial planning set of tools here. But if you go to our webpage at littlejohnfs.com, scroll partially down, you'll see where it says build your asset map. This is a visual look at all of your assets. And again, this is military grade security, all the stuff, but you can go in, create your own portal. You don't have to give a bunch of personally identifiable information that's going to compromise your identity or any of that stuff. But you can go in and give us, you know, put your name in it so we know who you are. And then you can build out your financial picture. It's just going to ask you questions. You follow through the wizard. It will take everything. And what you're doing is you're sort of co-oping with us. By helping with giving us the information, you are doing data entry on our behalf, which then gives us the ability to load this into our planning systems. And we can then do scenario-based planning with people.
Mm-hmm.
We can actually run things like projections. And if you're thinking to yourself, I'm 30 years old, this is useless. No, we can run way more than just retirement projections. We can do things like insurance analysis. Hey, I just had a second kid. Do I have enough life insurance? You could actually mock that up with real numbers, real projections, and get a sense of whether or not you're adequately insured. And then you can go out with that information and shop the marketplace if it's appropriate. You could actually look at how much am I contributing to retirement plans? How much is my employer matching? What does my future tax rate look like? And we could actually model that and give you a sense of whether or not you're contributing enough to ultimately be able to replace your income someday. These are all things that are available. And by you partnering with us using this tool online, we can provide this to you, and we actually can just give it to you because you're helping with that lift, right? And since we do a free consult for anybody that's new anyway, you can come in and we can have a discussion with you about this, and you can leave with legitimate financial planning built around your personalized circumstance.
Yeah, and a lot of the times, you know, I see people who come in and they spend an hour in the office and they walk out like, wow, I know way more today than I have ever known in my life about my own personal finances, because it allows you to do some pretty powerful things with a pretty simple tool.
It does. And simple meaning simple to engage with.
Correct, yeah.
It has a lot of horsepower behind the scenes of the ability to test things and try things out, really cool. The ability to simulate future tax rates, really cool. All stuff that I think is very relevant.
And it's really important for people who are getting close to retirement age, right? Because it allows you to potentially, you know, not lock some decision in permanently. Like, oh,
yeah, please expand on this, by the way. Because, I mean, we've had... Just explain what you mean by this when you say lock stuff in. I'm going to pump the brakes for a second and say, Matt, walk our listeners through this, because this to me is a really big deal.
So one of the big ones is like Social Security, for example. Sometimes people just are like, well, it doesn't really matter that much. I'm just going to take it now. Boom. And they make a really rash decision, not based on the numbers or anything. Just, I want to take it and give me some money. They've locked that in. They can't undo it. And then it's like, well, you just cost yourself 24% more money than if you had just waited 3 years, like as a rough example, right? Like you could have had a lot more, and maybe you really needed it because you're cash flow dependent.
Well,
but
yeah,
you locked in a decision because you were
impatient. It's the lock-in of decisions that I was really angling toward. Is there's some things that you only get to make the decision once, mm-hmm. right? There's no second bite at the apple. And so what we sometimes see as professional planners is folks have already made the decisions. Then they walk in the office and say, hey, this isn't working like I thought. Fix it. Mm-hmm. And our response at that point is, well, you needed to do the planning first. Once you locked everything in, it's a little bit like, hey, I already, you know, cut the board and now it's not the right length anymore. And it's like, well, if you cut it too short, you can't stretch the board, right? It's just not going to work. And so that's what happens sometimes is people, they cut first and then measure second.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
Well, that's a problem because the stats even show that the first 5 years of retirement has more impact on your long-term success than the next 20 years combined. Well,
that's a sneaker stat,
mm-hmm.
right? Because let me ask you, Matt, what does that sound like it means?
It sounds like you better get it right out of the gate.
So it's a commentary about the markets. It's not just about your decisions.
True. There's because, also the markets involved.
Because
in
there's a sequence of returns issue.
Yep.
If you have 25 years of theoretical retirement ahead of you,
mm-hmm.
but the first 5 years happen to be the bear market of 2008, so your account drops mm-hmm. by 50, 60%, while you're taking distributions out, it's possible that you never climb out of that hole again and you run out of money.
True.
If you grow that money for the first 5 years and it doubles in value from mm-hmm. your starting point, and then the market has a correction,
right?
You kind of go back to where you started, but you started okay.
Yeah,
in the first 5 years, I was okay, and then I'm not okay, and I'm never get back out of the hole versus I'm okay to I'm super okay, and then you pull back to just okay again.
It is a sequence of returns issue, and it also goes back to what we were talking about with you just locked in a decision permanently, because what if someone, you know, they threw caution to the wind, the market does have a 30% pullback, and then they're like, I don't care, I'm just going to retire and start pulling a bunch of money out of my IRA. And it's like, well, if you had just waited a year and then the market recovers 40% or something, and now you start pulling your money, that's going to have a pretty big impact potentially on your retirement.
Right. And by the way, these are fictional examples.
Yeah.
I mean, if the market happens to be down 30% and you're trying to retire, it doesn't mean you can't retire.
It's true.
But it does mean you need to adapt your strategy to give yourself the ability to stay retired.
Yep.
Right? What I see, one of the biggest mistakes that we see is folks that will say, I'm going to retire, but they don't plan for how they'll stay retired. And so their assumptions are wrong. They go ahead and pull the trigger, go into retirement, and then they blow past the safe margin of withdrawal and they burn through the capital.
Yeah.
And then you get to a point where there is no more money and you're further down the path and you're less employable and you have very few options, which is why an ounce of prevention, AKA pre-planning, can be worth a pound of cure.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, that's a big deal on this one.
Yeah.
So again, why we're kind of promoting this idea. My personal mission on this one's pretty straightforward. I would like to see more people be financially independent, and I think it's reachable because money will do so much of the work for you if you'll give it the time to do it.
Right.
We've got to reach you early.
And a lot of people have a lot more time than they think they do because people are living longer than they used to.
Yes. Well, not only do they have more time, but they need to plan for more time.
Exactly.
Because they're living longer. So do we need to be aware of the fact that your money may need to last 30 years, not 5.
Correct.
So that's a big difference in strategy.
Yeah. And you'd be surprised how many people out there are like, I've only got 5 years left. And then it's like, no.
Yeah. It can
you
be
lived a long
that.
Time.
All right.
Don't sell yourself short.
Well, of all of the things, Matt, what do we still need to talk to our listeners about?
I think one of the big ones is, you know, okay, we have established that things are different than they used to be, right? People are a little uneasy, but how do they kind of navigate these changing circumstances, whether it's taxes or whether it's they're living longer? Like, how do we overcome this? What are the keys to being successful in retirement?
All right, so I'm going to quiz you, but I'm going to make us take our last break now.
All right.
All right, so stick around, everybody. Matt's in the hot seat when we come back and talk strategies for some of the things that we can navigate. We'll talk about, hey, what we learn in an asset map, what can we use to our advantage? Stick around. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We're back to live. We can't talk about it anymore.
You better catch.
Welcome back to the True Wealth Show on the home stretch where we're going to keep it together, Matthew.
No, we're not.
We are going to keep
it
together.
I'm going to cut this real short so I got an extra 4 minutes before the end of the show to go into the stuff that really matters, David.
You know, you're going to have to watch the YouTube outtakes. That's all I can tell you.
Sure.
You're going to have to go see the live stream, and you want to look at the stuff in between the break. And then you'll go,
do you know how hard it is for me to filter? Like,
yeah,
I do a really good job, like A-plus work over
Thank
here.
You for not
getting you sued.
Yes, rule number one.
Getting myself
good job.
Fired.
Good job.
A long list of
things. Yeah, thank you for not violating any FCC regs.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. today we have covered interesting ground. We have established that the world is getting more complicated for investors.
People are a little uneasy.
A little uneasy, a little frustrated. If you're a Gen Xer like me, your trust has been broken enough times that you don't trust anybody. Oh, mm-hmm. The government says it's going to work out. That probably means it won't.
Yes.
Right? Oh, they say everything's, they said it's going to be fine. Great. It's not going to be fine. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, these tax policies, you can count on these. Nope, they're going to change. You know? Oh, yeah, sure. That career field, that's a banger. Yep, that was useless. Oh, absolutely. Your college degree is going to totally get you a job. Yep. No, flush that down the toilet. Right? All of these different things that were like, thank you for those promises. They ring completely hollow. And on to something more interesting, right? Now that we've established, okay, maybe the world is really tough to navigate.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's tough because we keep changing things radically.
Yes.
Heck, 10 years ago, social media was, I guess it was still a thing, but not like this.
Oh, that was one of the things I was going to talk about.
Oh, get out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, maybe we better, you know, push it out there. But I want to talk about how can people cut through the clutter and improve decisions, because I still believe this. Like, I genuinely believe this. It is still possible to have the American dream. It is not something that happens overnight, and it does require savvy navigation of the system, but it is within reach for people. This is not a, you know, punt, it's never going to happen. Now, you have to be willing to upgrade your skill set, and you're going to have to learn some things that weren't taught to you in high school. That's for darn sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are some of the things that we can do, Matt? If people are going to take the time to build an asset map with us, what's it good for?
Okay. One of the biggest things that people need to understand is how much they're actually spending. A lot of people don't have a budget. They have no clue what their expenses are, and they don't know if they're able to even net a profit each month.
Before you guys throw the asset map out the window, it's not a budgeting tool.
No,
just
it's
so
not.
You're aware, no. It is not a budgeting tool. And if you're like, if a lot of you won't even engage in this because the idea of a budget sucks too much, that shouldn't be the deal breaker on this one.
No,
I agree, Matt. People should know that you need to spend less than you're making. And if you don't know that you're doing that, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But don't let budget be the B word that keeps you out of this game.
Are you talking what do they need to be able to fill out an asset map?
Nope. I'm just talking about if we get an asset map,
mm-hmm.
how do we use that to help people?
Yeah. Okay. So to answer that, I'd say we're able to help you establish some ideas around, you know, how much you can possibly spend in retirement. That's a big one for people. Mm-hmm. Like giving you some guardrails, like, oh, the markets are doing this. Well, you might be able to spend roughly this amount each month. And then we can look out into the future and into, you know, various years and say, what's your net worth look like 15 years from now or 20 years from now? What if the market gives you an 8% return versus a 3% average return?
Mm-hmm.
And so we can manipulate a lot of different variables. One-time big expenses. You know that in 3 years, you're going to have to put a new roof on your house.
Oh, yeah.
We can add that
in
there.
That's about right,
too. So we can really manipulate the data to fit your unique circumstance, and then that allows us to really give you a lot better understanding of where you're at.
So I like the idea of, again, if you're not exposed to the concept of planning, think about it like, hey, I want to take a big vacation. Then let's say you're going to travel somewhere and you're going to take several weeks to do it. Then what would you do? You do some pre-planning and say like, well, I'm going to figure out where we're going to go, where am I going to stay, what am I going to eat,
who's going
with me.
What accounts are you pulling the money from?
Yeah, how am I going to afford to do this? And so, you know, if
that's
you
one
want,
of the cool parts about Asset Map is it actually has a dedicated travel budget, because some people are like, I want $20,000 a year in retirement to travel on. And some people are like, I don't travel at all. Delete it.
Yep. So there are lots of ways that we can help. It's the strategy part. Okay. If you wanted to, I guess there are people out there that probably just say, well, I'm going to go on vacation and I'm just going to take the time and I'm just going to go put it on a credit card and I'll figure it out later. And I will say to you, yeah, that's the type of person that may never retire.
Mm-hmm. That's a hard person to work with, too, from our end, where it's like, if you don't have any ability to have any sort of discipline, like, then planning's not for you.
Well, I would say planning's not going to work for you because you won't execute on it.
Right.
But this is...
It's an unfortunate reality.
There are some realities that, you know, we don't like to own. We just don't like to.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a medical condition. What I have is I just don't move enough, and I eat a little too much, and over the years I've just added weight.
Mm-hmm.
And then the medical issues start to follow. And then what do we say? Like, oh, well, let me give you all the excuses. Like, well, I mean, if that's how you cope with it, sure. But the reality is that over a lifetime, those little habits added up to extra weight. And that takes a lot of work. And now you have to change your behaviors if you want to change that condition.
Mm-hmm.
And finances are like that. The difference is, could we start the habits early? Because the crazy part is it's harder when you're early, but it gets easier and easier. There is a crazy point in time where saving gets to a point where the compound interest contributes more to your accounts than you can.
Yep.
And that's a really wild spot when you discover that you can actually make your money outwork you. But you have to start the snowball rolling down the hill. If you never start the snowball, it never builds.
Well, and some people roll the snowball down the wrong hill. And then it's like, good job. You just accumulated a lot in the wrong direction.
Yeah. Some people are trying to roll a snowball up a hill with no snow on it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not going to work.
Yeah. So, that's why a second set of eyes is really a big deal.
Yeah. So
you don't know what you don't know.
At the end of the day, I can't make any of you guys do this, but we do have some free tools. This is one of those. What's that?
You can yell at them to pull over and actually do something.
Well, I'm going to just encourage everybody, wherever you're listening, go to littlejohnfs.com, scroll down, and there's a little tab. It says visualize your finances like never before. And it's just a button on it that says build your asset map. Click that. You can then log in. You will be able to enter your own personalized credentials in a secure environment, and you can share that stuff with us. And then we can then engage with you on, like I said, do a free consult. It doesn't hurt to get the information. You may be working with somebody else. Maybe you just want a second opinion to make sure it's working out. You may be doing it yourself and you just want a second opinion on yourself. Okay. The offer is genuine.
There it is.
All right, gang. Last one, Matt. How do they reach us?
Yep. Give us a call at 541-375-0898.
Okay. Well, we're out of time for now. So until next time, I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
You've been listening to True Wealth. Catch you next week.